It's Weekend Edition on Michigan Radio, your NPR news station. Good morning, I'm Rebecca Kruth, and joining us now is Michigan Radio Senior News Analyst Jack Lessenberry with a look at some of the region's top news stories of the week. Jack, it sounds like a federal district judge may side with the ACLU in a lawsuit over special education in Flint public schools. The lawsuit says some kids in Flint have disabilities from drinking lead-tainted water for 18 months. The ACLU wants the judge to order that every preschool and school-aged child must be screened for disabilities and offered services. The State Department of Education and Flint Public Schools claim the law requires each parent to exhaust the in-school administrative remedies before they can sue. Why is it so difficult to agree on how to help these kids?
Money. This will cost a lot of money and set a precedent. And there's a question that's not really being talked about. There may well be other children who have problems that are not related to lead in the water. And will they get the help too? I don't know how you deny it to them, but there's this, of course, vast climate of sympathy for, deservedly so, for all these poor children who are exposed to lead in the water. And the federal judge is hinting he's going to side with the ACLU. And it'll be interesting to see how all this plays out. And as I understand it, the state will have to pay for this testing, not impoverished Flint. And you also want to wonder whether this will set a precedent for other cities in Michigan. So we'll just have to keep an eye on this one.
Wayne County Prosecutor Kim Worthy says she'll appeal a court ruling that lets former state Senator Virgil Smith run for the Detroit City Council. Smith pleaded guilty to shooting his ex-wife's car. A judge threw out the part of his plea deal that said Smith can't run for anything while he's on probation. A Michigan appeals court agreed. Now Worthy says she's going to challenge the decision before the state Supreme Court. Jack, what kind of impact could the court's decision have?
Well, it depends on how it's decided, not only how they come down, but their grounds for doing so. Now, basically what the appellate court said was that they don't have jurisdiction to force him to agree not to run. But Smith wasn't forced to do anything. He voluntarily signed an agreement. This is what Kim Worthy's saying. He voluntarily signed an agreement saying he wouldn't run for office, and then he cheerfully violated that. So the Supreme Court may say, if they take the case, that the appeals court was right and you can't do this kind of agreement. Or they may come out and say, well, that may be the case, but Smith voluntarily made a promise not to run, and so he can't run. It depends on how it's decided again. And of course, some people are looking at it with sort of in horror, because if Smith gets reelected to the Detroit City Council, it may send a message that Detroit doesn't want to send to the world about what kind of people are in its government again.
After nearly 30 years, the Palace of Auburn Hills this week announced that it will soon close its doors for good. Detroit's own ramblin' gamblin' man, Bob Seger, will play the arena's final event next month. This isn't a huge surprise, since we've known for quite some time that the Detroit Pistons are moving downtown. Still, Jack, you've got to wonder how hard this is going to hit some of the nearby bars, restaurants, and other businesses that thrive on Palace traffic.
You also may wonder even more what it will do to the tax base of Auburn Hills. I was a little surprised. I thought this facility might make it or at least go on for some years, unlike the Pontiac Silverdome. So what we have is two cases here of sports teams abandoning the city for the suburbs, going back to Detroit and leaving rotting stadia sitting there. The Pontiac Silverdome is in very wretched shape these days, and any facility like this, if it's not used at all for a while, quickly develops all sorts of problems. So it'll be very interesting to see how Auburn Hills handles this, what it means to the city of Auburn Hills, and what they decide to do with this structure. But good news, I guess, for Detroit, but in a way it's also sort of sad.
Well, Jack, I hope you get a chance to head out to Auburn Hills next month and enjoy some of that old-time rock and roll before the palace closes its doors.
Well, I've decided to reopen my garage and to revitalize it and to actually clean it this weekend. So it'll be small in comparison to closing down the Palace of Auburn Hills, but we all do what we can.
That's right. Jack Lessenberry is Michigan Radio Senior News Analyst. He joins us Saturday mornings to review the week's regional stories. You're listening to Weekend Edition on Michigan Radio.